Cross for 3 hours. 3 hours. It was dark in Silver Land, so I thought I ought to preach for 3 hours. We ought to be able to sit for 3 hours during preaching right if Jesus hung on the cross. Amen. Title of the message this morning is Transformed by Christ, and I've got different texts. You can go to Matthew chapter 27. I'm also going to go to Luke in a minute, but you know, I've been pastoring 19 years, and I've preached Easter. This is my 19th Easter, I guess, preaching, and man, you know, I've covered most of the aspects that I can think of. I mean, all the people, you know, Judas and Pilate and, man, the thieves on the cross and Jesus and Mary and Peter and John. And I've got them all and from different points of view. And, of course, the gospel story is in all four gospel accounts. You have to stick them all together to get the complete picture there. And, you know, I had some profound thoughts. I'm going to do something just a little different with the message this morning. But there was just a couple things that I wanted to bring out and get us to think about this when as we look at Easter. We talk about the cross, and we also talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Easter story itself shows us two things. That cross right there shows us two things at least. One, it shows us the wickedness of man. What's in man's heart? I got to think, somebody sat around and started thinking, inventing a way that they could kill somebody that would cause the most amount of pain and the most amount of suffering for the most amount of time. I mean, they just didn't cut their heads off or do something in a humane way. They said, we're going to take a cross and nail somebody on that thing and not give them anything to drink or nothing to eat. And we're going to let them hang up there. And if they live long enough, we'll just go ahead and break their legs so that they can't breathe and they can't push themselves up to breathe any longer. I mean, that's out of the heart of man. That's what's in the heart of man. But at the same time, it also shows us the love of God. Amen. Man, that He sent His Son. Huh? He sent His Son to die on a cross like that for our sins. Amen. Oh, man, I've told people, no, but I've only got one son. He's over here dressed up real nice with his bow tie today, looking sharp. But I'm not giving my son for you. I can't. I just can't love you that much. I love you, but I don't love you that much. But God, He loved us so much that He sent His Son. Amen. Woo, there's something to shout about right there. I'm telling you. So we see two points right there. And then also, you know, I started thinking about this. You know, I've preached about the cross. And man, I've gone through the whole physiological, psychological things that went on, and God put the sins of the world on Jesus. I may say something about that here in a minute. I've gone through all that before and talked about it. But, you know, then there's the resurrection side. And I want to say I really want to talk about that a little bit more today, because I'm tired of living on the grave side of the cross. You know, I've lived up, man, everybody walking around defeated and dragging around. They can't get victory over sin. They can't get excited about God. They can't get the victory about going to church. Man, they can't decide. It's a battle every morning. Well, you know, listen, I'm telling you something. I got it settled already. I'm going to be here Wednesday night. No, yeah, I will. I'll be here Wednesday night, and I'm going to be here next Sunday. I know today that I'm going to be here next Sunday. I got the victory over that when I got saved. Listen, I'm tired of living on the grave side. You know, I want to live on the victory side of things for a while. Man, there's no sense in us being, if Jesus came out of the grave, He overcame the biggest obstacle there ever was on the history of the world, and that's death. He overcame death, and He's walking and living today. And we don't have to walk around defeated because we serve a living Savior. Man, that's the exciting thing about the Easter story, man, that we can get the victory, man. We don't have to be defeated and depressed and dragging around all day long. We get the win, and I love that. You know, Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. A lot of times we see people wearing crosses, but that's not the greatest thing we could wear. You know, we ought to get little empty tombs and put them on our tie pins. Little empty tombs, because listen, the empty cross, man did take Jesus off the cross after He died. But the tomb, nobody took Jesus out of the tomb, man. He resurrected out of the tomb. That was the power of God. And so that's actually a greater picture of what we have in Christ, an empty tomb more so than the cross. And so, you know, I want to talk to you today about being transformed by Christ. This is what Jesus is doing for people today, even today. And we can look at the Easter story and see how it applied then and how it would apply to us today. Only got 2 points. There's an amen right there, right? 2 points. I don't have a 7-point outline, although there's 7 sub-points under both of the 2 points. Just kidding. Hey, right. We're going to talk about transformed by Christ. Look in Matthew 27, verse 32. The Bible says there, just one verse for you. It says, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Heavenly Father, we ask that now once again you meet with us, walk among us, speak to our hearts. Lord, bring to remembrance those things you've laid upon my heart. I pray there may be one or more here lost today. Today will be the day they see their need of calling on your name. I pray each one of us can be transformed by looking at your word today and from what you've done on Calvary's cross and the empty tomb. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Simon, we see this man, Simon. Jesus is, of course, he's already been falsely accused. He's already been tried. He's already been scourged. He's been before Pilate. And now he's going up to Golgotha's hill, a hill called Calvary. The common method was they would have the man would carry his own cross. This is how cruel man is. I mean, you're going to your death. Man, they didn't ask you what you wanted for your favorite meal, you know, your last wishes and everything. Not only are you going to die, you're going to carry the instrument that they're going to kill you with. And so he had to compel, and he was after the scourging, which could kill you cut grooves in your back a quarter inch wide. After he'd been scourged, he just didn't have the physical strength to carry the cross any longer. They look over and they compel this man named Simon from Cyrene. And that tells us something, just the fact that it says Simon a Cyrenian. It was Passover. Simon had no doubt had come to Jerusalem. He was a worshiper of God. Okay, he was a worshiper of God. And he came to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And he is standing on the sideline and he hears a commotion, hears a crowd, and he can hear some hollering probably and commotion, something's going on. And he came up to the sidelines to kind of see what's going on down that road. And he sees this bloody and battered man dragging a cross and soldiers mocking him and spitting on him and carrying on. And he thought that he was going to be a spectator. You know, a lot of people come to church, you know, and there might be people here today. You might think, you know what, I just came to be a spectator. Man, I don't want to get too involved. I don't want to get real close to Christ. I mean, I just want to see what's going on. I just kind of want to see what's going to take place. But I'm going to tell you something, you know, you might get surprised. Because Simon thought, man, I'm just going to be a spectator. I'm not getting involved with it. And those old Roman soldiers, they looked up there and they said, listen, they compelled him. You're coming down to carry this cross. You know, don't view your Christianity as a spectator sport. You know, don't look at it from this point of view. There's no way that we're going to get as close to Christ as Simon did and not be transformed by that. Those soldiers had these plans and, of course, they compelled him. The Bible tells us this, if any man will come after me, and Jesus said these words, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Two-handed job, by the way. Can't hold on to the whole world and take up the cross of Christ. You're going to have to let some things go to pick up the cross of Christ. And the Bible also tells us as Christians that we're partakers of the suffering of Christ. And these soldiers compelled him, but I got to thinking about it. There's no way. There is no way that Simon went down and stared Jesus eyeball to eyeball and picked up the cross of Christ himself and drug that cross to Calvary's hill. For that man, and his life wasn't transformed. I believe one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to be walking around, and I'm going to see people, and somebody's going to say, hey, this is Simon that carried the cross of Christ. How'd you like to have been that man? Huh? See, it wasn't a proud moment in Simon's life that day because that was a humiliating thing. You didn't want to be associated. People didn't wear crosses. You didn't wear a cross. You might as well wear an electric chair around your neck now. I mean, that's what it would have been like. It's what they executed people on. It wasn't a proud thing. But boy, I'll tell you, in heaven, and I know there's no pride there. I know. But man, can you imagine being the person that carried that cross for Jesus that day? I believe he was transformed. He was transformed. And not only was Simon transformed by the cross of Christ, you know that the whole earth was transformed as well. In Matthew 27, right over in the next page on verse 45, it says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Well, what was going on? Well, Jesus, the sinless one who'd never known sin, God had taken the sins of the world, every wicked sin you can imagine, every wicked sin that we read about and hear about every day, he put them on his son who knew no sin. And God cannot look upon sin. God cannot look upon sin. So he made darkness over the land. I told the crowd this morning at the sunrise service, I went out yesterday evening, it was right before dark, and I was out there by the car outside, and I was thinking about this, you know, just putting everything in the chronological order of the Easter story. And I said, on Saturday, after the crucifixion, Jesus was still in the tomb. He wasn't walking on the earth as a human. And the Holy Spirit hadn't been given as a permanent possession to the church either. Man, it was dark. It was a spiritually dark day. I believe there was a somber mood, and maybe even people all over the world that didn't even know why. I believe there was a somber mood on the earth that night, on Saturday night. But the resurrection day hadn't come. But that the sins of the world placed on Christ in darkness because God couldn't look on the whole world. It was a visible picture of the spiritual condition of the world and the spiritual condition of the human heart as Jesus paid the price for sin. You know, that cross, I said, exposed the wickedness of man and the lostness of man. The soldiers, the Bible says that the soldiers, they mocked Jesus. They laughed at him. They made fun of him. They gambled for his garments. They'd already scourged him. They'd already put a crown of thorns on his head, not unlike those thorns there, and pushed him down with reeds and forced him into the skin of his scalp. And then they nailed him with an old Roman nail. I didn't bring my nail out. They're big. It's a big Roman nail. They nailed him to a cross through his hands and feet and stuck him up there for everybody to see, the whole world to see. All the cross did, it revealed what was already in the heart of man. These inventions of man. You know, the cross is also seen as a dividing point, not only a transforming point, but a dividing point. Some of them laughed and mocked, but there was some people there that wept and mourned. And it brings us to the next group of people, the next man that was transformed by the cross of Christ, and is in Luke chapter 23, just over there in the next book, and it's in this gospel account, and it's not in Matthew's account. But in Luke chapter 23, there was a couple of thieves that were nailed on the cross in Luke 23, 39 through 43. I'll read to you in verse 39. It says, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Whew, man, I tell you what, some words right there, man. It says, if you look at all the gospel accounts, it actually says this, that both thieves railed on him at first. They just yelled at him and mocked him and doubted him. But something happened. One thief, somewhere along the way, as he looked at Jesus, and he said this, you know what? And I'll paraphrase just what he said in that text right there. You know what he said? He told the other thief, hey, this man hadn't done anything wrong. He said, we're getting what we deserve. We're thieves. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he looked at him. And he said, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. Well, how did he know about Jesus' kingdom? I believe he'd heard some preaching somewhere along the way. Somewhere along the 3 years that Jesus ministered on earth, this thing wasn't done in a corner, the Bible tells us, and there was people, he had been popular for a while. I believe he'd heard some preaching somewhere along the way. Somehow his heart was changed as he looked at Jesus on that cross. Huh? Boy, can you imagine? I mean, man, he was just hours. He was hours away from dropping off into eternity. Had the Savior of the world hanging right there beside him. All he had to do was ask Jesus to forgive him of his sins. He confessed his sins and he asked him to come into his life. Hours away. Whew, man, that close.
Amen.
Huh? That close. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Man, he didn't get baptized. He didn't join up with the church. He didn't go out and do a bunch of good deeds and feed children and feed the hungry and clothe and do all that. He didn't do a thing. He just said, Jesus, I'm guilty. He said, remember me. He called him Lord. He called him Lord. He said, remember me. He said, man, today thou shalt be. Man, he was transformed. Transformed by the cross of Christ. Luke 23, 47 also tells us there was another man that was transformed by the cross. And it says in verse 47, now when this centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Man, that old Roman centurion, man, he was a man of war. He was a soldier in a Roman military. A centurion was in charge of 100 men. You don't get to be in charge of 100 military men if you don't know something about the military, something about fighting. No doubt in my mind, this man had killed people in battle. He'd done that. And now we see that he's on the crucifixion duty. And this is where they killed criminals in those days, the ones that were guilty of the death sentence. No doubt he'd seen many, many people killed and crucified on an old rugged cross. He'd seen that in his lifetime, a hardened man. But there was only one crucifixion that transformed that man's life. Huh? When he stood up there and he saw Jesus hanging on that cross, he heard the words that Jesus said, the seven things he said from the cross. He saw the darkness over the land for a 3-hour span. He felt the earthquake and all that took place that day. And Jesus gave up the ghost on his own without dying a speedily way. Normally it could take 3 days to die on the cross, and Jesus just dismissed his spirit in a matter of hours. He said, truly, this is the Son of God. And John's account, I think, tells us, he said, it's the Son of God, God's Son. Man, transformed by the cross of Christ. Everybody thought that was the end, but on the third day they got a surprise. He came out of the ground. There was another thing that was transformed in Luke 23:45 says, and the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. The way to God was transformed by the cross. In the Old Testament times, there was a temple. They had the temple, and there was a veil. If you study the Bible, and you know, the veil was probably a foot thick. It was woven. It was a very thick thing. It was a very tall thing. The Bible tells us when Jesus gave up the ghost that the veil was rent from top to bottom, which tells us God did it two ways. A man couldn't have rent it because of the thickness of it, but it was torn from top to bottom. It was very tall. The veil separated the holy place from everybody else. You couldn't go, you didn't have access to God. You had to go to the temple. You had to do the right sacrifice. You had to talk to the priest, and the priest had to go in. And he could only go once a year. He could only go into the presence of God once a year. But guess what? When Jesus gave up the ghost, boy, the ground shook. Some of the rocks in the temple moved, and it said the veil was rent. That was a visible picture of a spiritual reality that now access to God. Through Jesus Christ, man. Hey, listen, man. You don't. I'm a priest in the sense that we have the priesthood of believers, which means that we have access to God. I'm just the pastor of a church. I'm just like you. I got my weaknesses. I got my failures. I'm just, you know, God just called me to do this. But I'm going to say, you know, you don't have to come and tell me. I mean, I'll pray with you. If you need my advice, I'll help you with your advice. But if you just need to talk to God, listen, you talk to God. Just be honest with God. Talk to God. We have that because of what Jesus Christ. So the way to God was transformed through the cross of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ. The cross of Christ transformed many things, but as I said, that wasn't the end. There was the transformation that took place by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, after Jesus died, of course, we know they came and they begged the body and they took him and Joseph of Arimathea, they borrowed his. He had a tomb, and he must have been a wealthy man, had a nice tomb, stone place, and they put the body in the tomb. I was telling this morning with the people, you know, when death comes, there's doubt and there's confusion and you just don't know what to do. And I was sharing when my mom died, that empty feeling, and my dad too, when my dad died too. And I remember walking around the house, both houses, and I just looked at the things that belonged to my parents. And I just couldn't believe that they were just gone. You know, my mom died that morning, and I just walked around. I just couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. And I remember my dad, Sherry, I tell you, just saying, we went to bed, and my dad had gone to bed, and I heard my dad crying in the bedroom. And he was saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Man, it was ripping our heart out. It's ripping our heart out. That's the way death, that's death. Man, I tell you, I was grieving for my dad, and I was grieving for myself. And these disciples, no doubt, when Jesus was placed into the grave and they loved him, man, they were confused and they had doubt and they had worry and they had fear. They didn't have any direction. They didn't have any joy. They didn't have any peace. And that was, you know, that just like everybody that we know that goes through a loved one that passed away. But on the third day, on the third day, the Bible says that Mary, she went down to the tomb early in the morning. What did she think she was going to find? I told him this morning, man, she had obstacles in the way. Man, there was a big stone that was in front of the tomb, but she went down there anyway. She didn't let the obstacles stop her from getting to Jesus. She did not know how she was going to get to the body, but she loved Jesus so much, she said, I don't care what's in the way. I'm going to get as close to Jesus as I can get. I'll tell you, her heart was in the right place. Man, if we could just get this point right here. If we could get to where we want to get as close to Jesus as we can get. And not let nothing stop us. And she went down there and she didn't know. Of course, she found out that the stone was rolled away. Man, she went down there. She expected to find a dead body and she got a surprise. She went down there, man, she found a resurrected Savior when it was all over with. And I'm going to tell you what, boy, it was something, man. But she wanted to be near Him. And boy, I was thinking about that. She went down there, she wept and she was sorrowful and she grieved and got down there and man, that tomb and already the stones rolled away, and there's not a body. And there was a couple angels she saw, and then she went back, and then Jesus called to her and said, Mary. And she turned. I was telling this morning about it. Man, can you imagine the joy that just all of a sudden, when you go from this loved one being gone and dead, and you think you got a body in the grave, and you're grieving, and you doubt, and all of a sudden said, Mary, and it was Jesus standing there. She said, Rabboni, my great teacher, my great master. And she just looked, man, and an adrenaline charge went up in her then. And she said, man, he's alive. He's standing there and he's alive. And she went from being sorrowful and she went to be in front of doubt and worry and all that. Man, it was just taken away because Jesus Christ was still alive. Man, I believe her heart was about to explode when she realized who it was, man. I mean, this was the greatest thing that she could have named, you know. And she knew this. Listen, man, he said, Mary, he called her by name. I love when we go down the prayer advance and Dan Vaughn, he plays that piano and he sings this song. He said, he knows my name. He knows my name. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, you're here today. Listen, he knows my name. I'll tell you, I'm glad he knows it because I forget mine half the time. I can't remember anything else. He knows my name. He knows your name. He knows you by name. Man, that's an amazing thing that God, the creator of the universe, knows my name. He's the creator of us as well. And boy, I mean, man, she was transformed instantly from tears of sorrow. She was transformed to tears of joy. She was, the fear was gone. The doubt was gone. And she, man, I tell you what, I believe this way we'd say it today, Mary was jacked up. Man, she was jacked up when she come out of there, man. She said, this is something. She went and found Peter and John. She said, I got news for you. Man, Jesus has resurrected. The body is gone. The body is gone, man. She went down there and find them and told them about it. And so we see Peter and John. Here they come. And John chapter 20 tells us the same thing. Matter of fact, when they found out the body was gone, they were so excited. They were just like her, man. Listen, they were grieved. They were sorrowful in their heart. Man, they just didn't know what was going to take place. And they went running down there to the tomb. And the Bible says that John got there first, but he didn't go in. People afraid of graves. But said Peter got down there and he went in. And he looked down there at the grave clothes that were laying there on the rock there. It was the clothes. Now listen, in those days they put big stones because they had grave robbers. Nobody went and stole the body. They went and stole the clothes. But we had an opposite thing going on here. The clothes were there and the body was gone. Who in the world would steal a dead body? He went in there and looked and said he saw the clothes and he saw the napkin and said it was folded. Now, no grave robber, if they were going to steal the body, if somebody's stealing something, you know, somebody breaks in your house and steals everything out of the house, they're not going to make your bed up for you, ladies, when they, look, the lady's bed's messed up, let's make the bed. They're not going to do that. They're not going to take the time for that. Who would have stole the body and folded the napkin up nice and neat? They knew. Peter said they looked at that. And they believed, man, they knew what had happened when they saw that. They were transformed, man. They were transformed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then over in John, in chapter 20, verse 19 as well, it said this. It said that Jesus, the disciples, that they had met together. Guess what day it was? It was Sunday. You ever wonder why we go to church on Sunday and not Saturday? Because the disciples were together on Saturday, Jesus was still in the tomb. On Sunday was the resurrection day. That's the Lord's day. So they go running up there to the upper room. They go in and they're all gathered together. And I believe that they were all not sure what was going on. Had a lot of doubt and confusion. There was probably some talk about the body being gone. They probably thought somebody just stole the body. Guess what? Jesus showed up. Jesus came through there. He said, look at me. He said, look at my hands. I got nails right there. Look at my side. I got a spear mark right there. They said, it's me. And I believe, boy, you're talking, there was another jacked up group right there. Man, that was church, man. They were on the first day of the week and they were gathered together. You never know what's going to happen. See, we meet on the Lord's Day now. We meet on the Lord's Day because it's the first day of the week. It's the Resurrection Sunday. And you know what? We're just like them disciples right there. We good old Baptists, right? Guess what we expect to happen on the Lord's Day when we come to church? Nothing. Huh? That's just what we expect, right? What do you think they thought? Jesus was dead. He's in the tomb. And so we're all going to go in there and we're sitting around. Well, you know, what do you want to do? Well, we'll sing a couple songs, I guess. And, you know, maybe we can look over a couple verses of scripture we got, you know, talk about that, get a cup of coffee and, you know. No, I mean, that's probably what they thought was going to happen. I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus showed up, things changed. If Jesus popped through the walls, but the Bible says, look, the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. I got news for you, man. Jesus is here now. Amen. And he's everywhere that his people are gathered together because he's God, man. He's walking around. I told him a couple weeks ago, I was preaching a message about that. And I said, he's looking for something. Jesus, when he shows up, listen, it's just not just to sit there and be static. You know, he's looking for somebody that's looking for him. He's looking for somebody that's going to be honest with him in their heart. Just tell them what they need. Man, he went in and showed those disciples. And the Bible says this. It says there that he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The word, the breath of God, life, man, life. See, without God, we're spiritually dead. We're walking around. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you're walking around as a dead man spiritually. I was there. Hey, I was there. I was 31 probably when I got saved, something like that. Before I, you know, finally it clicked on a little slow, you know. It clicked on there and somebody told me about Jesus Christ. Listen, I got saved, but he breathed on him. The breath of life from God himself. They were transformed by that resurrected Christ. And listen, you can be transformed as well. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is over in Luke 24:32. The Emmaus Road disciples. This was later in the day after the resurrection. And there's a couple of disciples and they're walking down the road, man. They're leaving Jerusalem now. This is where all the action took place and this is where Jesus was. But you know, this is how we do, right? Now Mary, she wanted to get as close to the body as she could get. But these Emmaus Road disciples, we don't have names for them. We know they didn't run down to the tomb. They were just kind of, I believe they loved the Lord. I mean, they did love the Lord, but they weren't as close to him or trying to get as close to the body. But it says that they're going home. They're going back to Emmaus. And so they're walking down the road and they're talking about things of the day. Man, you know, can listen, if you've ever witnessed a very tragic death of some kind where it was graphic, it you kind of stuns you. It does, man. I mean, I've seen some bad traffic accidents and it's like you get in a daze and you can't get it out of your mind. And they had witnessed everything that happened to Jesus. And I believe they were stunned. And we're walking back down the road and they were like the rest. Listen, they're depressed, man. They don't know what to do. They're going on back home. They're going back home and they're tired. And the Bible tells us that Jesus appeared to them and Jesus started talking to them. Well, you know, what are y'all talking about? He asked them, I'm just paraphrasing a little bit. What are you talking about? And he said, boy, haven't you heard, you know, what's gone in Jerusalem? And they start telling about Jesus and we thought he was going to be our Savior, but they took him, they crucified him, and now he died. And he said, man, today's the third day. They did mention that. They said, today's the third day and, you know, nothing's going on. So we're heading on back to the house. And so Jesus starts to talk to him. And it says that he expounds the Old Testament prophecies that concerned himself. And he talked to them about that as they walked along. And they were tired. They said, look, we're going to turn in. They kind of compelled him. Nice. They were being hospitable. They said, why don't you come with us? We're going to go ahead and spend the night. And as we're beat and we're going on back to, you know, keeping on going home. But he expounded them the word. And I was thinking about that. The word of God from the word of God himself. Jesus starts talking, and it said that he took bread and he broke the bread. The bread of life is breaking bread for these guys that are hungry, and he breaks bread for them. And the Bible says that their eyes were opened. See, listen, just because you're in church, or just because, you know, and a lot of us grew up in church, you know, we just grew up doing that, and I did. I grew up in church. Listen, I went years. I was 31 before I really got saved, before my spiritual eyes were open. I understood what was going on. Just because they'd been around Jesus and just because they'd heard it all doesn't mean that they understood it. But it said their eyes were open, and it said Jesus vanished out of their sight. And they said this, they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened the scriptures? Oh, you bet they, you bet their heart did. And buddy, I tell you what, man, they was jacked up group. It said right then that they turned around and immediately went back to Jerusalem. My man, I love that because they were all tired. And there was another picture. You know what happens when we get tired and we get defeated and we get our eyes off the Lord and we're not sure about the Lord's direction for our life? You know what happens? We just start going away from God. They're just going on. They're going on back home. What are you going to do there? They didn't know. What are you going to do? The boy, after their eyes were opened, it says, man, they went immediately back to Jerusalem. Man, can't you picture that? They're all dragging in. Man, I'm beat. Man, I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm going to bed. Jesus transforms their life. Man, they're going back to Jerusalem now. Man, they're heading back. Man, they're excited about it. They're going to go back. And what? You know what happened when they got back? They went and found the other disciples. Church. They went and got with other people. They got with other Christians. And they said, man, I mean, who do you think they ran? They didn't run out and tell Judas. Of course, he was already dead. They didn't run out and tell a bunch of lost people. Guess what, man? The risen Lord met with us. Right then, they went back and got with the other Christians. They got with other people, and they were excited about it. And when they got with them, can you imagine the buzz? Now, get it here. You got Mary, man. She's been down at the tomb. She's already seen the risen Lord. She had two angels in shining white. She saw that day. Peter and John run in there, and they see the clothes lie. And they go to the upper room, and Jesus himself walks in and says, look at them hands in my friend. Look at that side. Look at that right there. They saw all that, and you get that group of people together. Can you imagine? You know how fellowship time sounds here? And I'm up here at the mic going, all right, we're going to start. Quiet. Can you imagine? You probably couldn't shut them up. I mean, man, they were just pumped up, man. They were transformed by the resurrection of Christ. Man, I mean, and that's the way it ought to be. I'm glad y'all are like that. I guess you're excited about what Jesus has done for you. I don't know. I mean, I may have to holler at you to get started, but that's okay. But here it was. It was a transformation. Their hearts burns. I want to ask you this. Have you met him? Have you met him? I remember, man, 1987. I grew up, man. I mean, I grew up going to church off and on. My parents were like a lot of parents, they didn't make me go all the time. Shame on them for that. But we went, you know, and I just grew up in an era. The time I grew up, I didn't know a single person that was an atheist until I was a teenager. I met some knuckleheads over in the neighborhood there that didn't believe in God. But I mean, I just didn't believe. I always believed in Jesus. And, you know, went through a lot of things. But, you know, we moved out in the country, and I can see the hand of God and all that. And my wife and I get married. My daughter, wherever she may be, she's on it with her. She was just a little baby in diapers. And this church came out and visited with us, and they said, you know, invited us to come to church. And that Sunday, Sherry said, hey, do you want to go to church? I said, yeah. She said, where do you want to go? I said, well, I want to go to that church because they invited us. They were the ones that came out, you know. It was a little independent Baptist church. Only had about 30 people in it, I think. Maybe a little bit more. And we went out there, and the pastor started coming on Thursday nights. I'm a little bit hard-headed, you know. And they came on Thursday nights, and they started talking to me about salvation. I'll never forget it. And they showed me in the Bible where the Bible said, you know, that you know, where you have to confess, call on the Lord and confess that you're a sinner. And they asked me, you know, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and come into your life? And I said, no, I've never really done that. I always believe in God, but I've never had done that. And they showed me what the Bible said. And I said, well, not the sharpest tack in the box, but that's what the Word of God says you got to do. That's what I'm going to do. I got down on my knees right there by my couch. I said, Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Man, make me what you have me to be. I didn't know it was going to be a preacher. And not much of one, but I didn't know that was going to take place. Almost 30 years ago, man, Danielle, she was over there, had one of them little spring-loaded door stoppers on the thing. It's got the spring and the thing, and she goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the preacher was like, he's giving me the word, man. And I was like, man, God's convicted me, and Danielle's flapping that thing. And, man, I was like, you know. And I finally said, Sherry, you got to do something with that. Get her. And then the preacher, we had this swivel chair, and he was swinging back. And she, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, man, God's talking in my heart, man. I was like, shh. Well, if I didn't get saved, Satan was doing everything he could, man, to get me. And I got the baby straightened out, and the preacher finally sat still and transformed by the resurrection.
Amen.
Huh? Yes, sir, man. Listen, man, God saved me, man. I didn't know I had baggage, man. I mean, I could tell you horror stories and a lot of bad stuff about me, and but it ain't about me. You know, it was what Jesus did, man. You know, it's just what Jesus did. I didn't know how he's going to, you know, there was obstacles. Listen, like a stone that was rolled in front of the tomb, there was obstacles there. And I didn't know how God was going to take care of all that, but I just knew I was lost, and I wanted to be saved. That's all you have to know. That thief on the cross, he was a thief, man. He'd never done a good thing, but he trusted Jesus. Huh? Man, and I'm what, you know what? I met Jesus Christ that day in my living room floor. He transformed my life. I know I'm not perfect. Missed it by that much. But he transformed my life. He did. Have you met him? Would you like to meet him? He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. There's been a lot of people saved right down here at this altar over the years. Between here and the other side over there, man, that they saw their need. Why not come today? I remember Easter Sunday years ago, man, I haven't been preaching all that long. A couple years maybe two, second year or something. Man, we had the old side over there. It's just fellowship hall now. We can't even fit everybody in there. We probably had 140, 50 people, 180, I think it was 180 people. And we had people sitting in the foyer looking back in the church and metal chairs down on each side of this and down the ends over there. Man, it was packed out. And buddy, I think like 8 people come down the aisle and got saved that Easter Sunday. Man, I was flipping out. I just couldn't believe it, man. I mean, that's just what God can do. And I don't know what your needs are, whether you're sure about your salvation. Maybe you've never trusted Christ. Maybe you didn't understand. I don't know what it is. And even as Christians, sometimes, you know, we live on the grave side of the resurrection instead on the, you know, or the grave side or the cross side of our Christianity instead of the resurrection side, man, where we got the victory, man. I'm tired of being defeated all the time, man. I'm telling you that right now. Thank God for what he's done for me. But if God spoke to your heart today and you got a need, listen, we have altar call in this church for the visitors. A lot of people come to the altar, and that's not unusual of it here. But if you're lost, you know you need to be saved. You just get my attention. My wife can pray with you. Somebody or one of these ladies will pray with you if you're a lady, and I can pray with you and show you what the Bible says about being saved. So let's stand with their heads bowed and eyes closed. And